welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast for October 22nd. It's brought to you by Shooters in Nagoya. I'm John Gibson, and joining me as usual is Jim Allen. What's happening, bud?
Well, I was all planning to be visiting Nagoya pretty darn soon, but I don't know. I might have to put that trip on hold.
I was thinking about making a trip down there myself. But yeah, that trip's probably on hold and could be on permanent hold for this year at least. But we're going to discuss round two of the PL and CL Climax Series playoffs and discuss the Japan Series.
And round one as well, because they finished after we were after we taped the last show.
That's true. So let's get going by clearing the bases. All right, well, Jim's giving himself a round of applause for getting both the Climax Series predictions correct. He predicted the Dragons would move on and that SoftBank Hawks would beat the Lions, and he got both of those right. It took three games, but he got them both right, so you get the booby prize.
Wow.
No, I get the booby prize.
Okay, you get the booby prize.
I missed on both. What okay. Do you get?
I got an applause.
Oh, that's so, right. So, I'll give you one. Here you go.
Thanks, man.
All right.
Appreciate it. Who's your daddy? Okay.
Wow. Sneak that one in there. The thing about the first round in the Climax Series is that both cleanup hitters had chances to win for the home teams. And Okawari-kun's ball came up just a little shorter. He would have hit a three-run home run. Tony Blanco ends up hitting a grand slam. So that's how close it was.
Yeah, they were good, and exciting, and ready to talk about the second stage, or you want us to talk about the first stage first?
Well, just the finale. I mean, the Hawks, they got a run in the eighth inning of that game three that proved to be the difference, and then, like I said, Takuya Nakamura just missed a three-run bomb off of Morifuku, who in the second stage looked like the guy I'd seen most of the regular season.
But you mean with the hair?
The hair thing was disturbing. It was, look, you know, I saw him
That guy shouldn't be allowed to take his hat off.
Well, when I went out to the stadium a week ago, I'm like, wow, it's a flock of seagulls.
it's like somebody call Hikaru Genji. Call Hikaru Genji and find out if they lost one of their band members with that wave he's got, that little host hair.
Yeah, it was a flock of seagulls without the spray. So it was just flopping right in front of me. I thought somebody had lost one of their little animals somewhere. Just moved in Morifuku's hair. But anyway, Good for the Hawks. Too bad for the Lions, who I picked, and I really thought they'd get through because I thought some of those guys would produce for them, some of the young kids, and they weren't able to do it, so they didn't go on. But they did have a good season, and even though they were my pick, and I stuck with them, but they let me down, as well as some other people.
Whoa!
A few other people, I'm sure. So then the second stage was over and done very quickly for the Pacific League. Game one, the Fighters win it 3-2, and the guy I have a man crush on.
Don't talk about it anymore. You're weirding me out.
He comes up big. Now the thing is I started looking through his numbers because I'm getting ready to do the best nine and the MVP and everything. He's really got some great numbers. I mean, I don't know that I'll give him a first place vote for MVP, but
you get to vote.
I get to vote. I got my packet when I went into the office last week.
I'm kind of jealous, and I'm kind of I don't care.
Well, your input is welcome. How's that?
Hmm. I don't want to do any inputs.
I see. I inspired you a lot.
I'm jaded right now.
Jumping at the opportunity to participate here.
Indeed.
So Itoi hits a two-run shot in the seventh of game one, and they were down by two runs, and he claims he was just trying to move the runner over. But any way you look at it, he uppercutted the swing. He got a really good pitch to hit, and he drove it way out. And
well, that's what you say in Japan when you hit a home run. I was just trying to, you know, build the rally, set the, they say, tsunageru, to connect the elements of the rally or whatever the heck it means, you know.
String the hits together.
Yeah. Play little ball, basically. And oops, it went out of the park. Oh, boy, I sure failed.
My bad, Skip. I'll do better next time.
I got a story about that one tonight. Okay. So, that was game one.
But I don't remember how to pronounce all his names. Yang, the pitcher, the older brother of Yo from the Fighters.
Yeah.
He pitched great.
Yang Yaoshun.
Yang Yaoshun.
Right.
And I would say Yo Daikon for younger brother since he changed his name to that. But Yang pitched great. I mean, I don't think they really had expectations for that kind of, you know, six and two-thirds innings and two runs. And he did amazing work for a guy who didn't pitch a lot.
Well, no, he didn't pitch a lot, and it's true, he didn't get a start until August. But he did pitch pretty well in a few games. He shut out Oryx on three hits.
It's Oryx. It hardly counts.
I don't know. Dejo's in that lineup, and he's a right-hander, so that's not an easy package. Three hits, 10 strikeouts, and no walks.
Yeah, it was a good, I shouldn't doubt that because.
Good. I mean, he does have, he's kind of a smaller guy, I think, and he looks small. I don't know, you know, actually I've never met him, so I can't say, but that was one of my goals, was to get a chance to interview him this postseason, and I didn't make it, so.
Yeah.
He didn't make it.
Well, I questioned the pitch, Koji Akiyama questioned publicly, about having left Yang in there too long. I don't know. They were trying to bust him in on the hands and the pitch was flat and it just wasn't well executed and I think he was tired and it showed up in that pitch. And I think it was a little early to bring in Morifuku at that time, but I don't know. He didn't look like himself and when he came in, it didn't look like he was actually warmed up because the pitch that he threw to Tomohiro Nioka, who hit the game winning RBI, was just pretty flat. It didn't really do very much. And that's one guy we know. And you remember I talk about these kick-around guys you need at the end of the bench, these veterans who you do nothing but you put them in there and they get a hit for you once in a while. Nioka's turned into that guy. Yeah. They don't really even play him that much during the regular season. And then he wakes up and he takes us. Yeah, I think it was a slider, but I don't know. I really couldn't tell what kind of pitch it was. He just takes it and whacks it in the right field like he does.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was a perfect matchup for the Fighters, actually, because Morifuku likes to work those guys away anyway. So,
yeah, and that's what he does. He hits middle away and anything way up in the zone.
And so that was game one.
Yeah.
Game two, Itoi hits another two-run blast, again in the seventh inning, same as game one.
The lucky seventh.
And, and then Yo Daikon showed off his arm by throwing out a runner at the plate that helped to keep the game. I guess the Fighters were up 1-0. It helped keep their lead intact. And then Itoi hits another home run. So 3-0 Fighters. What did you like in this game?
I didn't see the game. I can't talk about it.
You didn't see the game at all. Okay. You can't.
I was at Tokyo Dome doing the Giants Dragons game. I didn't have any, you know, I'm there doing that and, when I get home, it's midnight, and I'm not watching baseball.
I gotcha. Well, I mean, you know, Michael Westbay immediately emailed me after Yo throws out a runner at home and says, what a play. And, of course, I was watching the Dragons, of course, too. And I think I had the game on my iPhone or something or on another TV, but I really wasn't paying much attention. My heart was in the Dragons game. So I see this play, and I mean, you know, it wasn't that great. It wasn't some throw like Ichiro makes from the back wall or something all the way to the plate or something crazy like he used to do when he was here. It was just your average run-of-the-mill one hopper to the plate. It was on target,
right,
but he should have thrown the guy out. I've raved about that outfield all season long about how I think it's the best in Japan, And from that position on the field where he caught the ball, I forgot who he threw out. He should have gotten out, so he did. I think it was. He should have gotten him out, so, and he did. And that's part of playoff baseball is getting the little things done that you need to get done.
Yep.
And they did. So, that was game two. And then game three, the clincher, Tadashi Setsu comes back on basically short rest. In Japan, it's short rest.
What, he pitched last month?
you're just mean.
Yeah.
And he twists an ankle. He gets hurt trying to cover first, in the first inning on a ground ball by Atsunori Inaba. And he twists his ankle.
And first base is, they should put a warning sign at the first base at Sapporo Dome. I know Kensuke Tanaka got hurt there. And
yeah, well, that was an arm injury, but yeah.
But still, it's a dangerous area. They should have, like, a little safety first sign on the base.
No Jim Allen's allowed here, for sure, right?
For sure. I'd be tripping all over the place.
So Setsu gets hurt, and he has to leave the game. And they still... They pieced it together, and they didn't get blown out, you know, completely. They gave up some runs in that inning. I think it was three. And they came back and got it to two, but they weren't able to finish it off, weren't able to come back, and end up losing. And that's the series. It was over really quickly and very harmless, and I don't know about painless.
Yeah, tough to be a – it's tough. The Hawks have had two – final stages in Sapporo, and they've lasted all of five games. The final stage used to be a best of five with a one game advantage, and so the first time they had that advantage, the Hawks went in. They were the third place team. They beat the Lions. They go up to Sapporo in 2007. Hold on.
I think it was 2005.
2006.
Yeah. Right.
And the series was a pair of 1-0 shutouts. Yu Darvish throws 1-1-0 shutouts, and Tomi Oyagi throws another 1-0 shutout.
Yeah, yeah.
And that.
And I think the Yu Darvish game was the walk-off where they beat Saito.
Right. They were both 1-0 is all I remember.
So it was the walk-off.
Okay. Yeah. I do not recall that. You were there. I was not.
I was there, yeah. So, unfortunately for the Hawks, they haven't been able to do anything in Sapporo Dome, and they looked like a long season had taken its toll on both their batters, and they really didn't have the pitching. And even though they didn't have the pitching, I thought they hung in there pretty well, considering, with all things considered. Plus, they lost Setsu in game three, and they gave up three runs in that first inning, and then just one run the rest of the way. So they did pretty well. They had a good season. Hiroki Kokubo, it was his final game as a pro. He ends up making the last out. Yeah, I guess you didn't see that either.
I heard about it. I noticed that, actually.
Yeah, he makes the last out, and then they end up giving him the traditional toss in the air after the game. Both teams joined in the middle for that, so that was pretty nice. It was nice for him. Good send-off.
Yep.
So the Fighters will be in. The first game of the Japan series is October 27th, so that will be
Saturday
coming. And it's 2-3-2 format. It's two at the Central League Park, whether it's the Tokyo Dome or Nagoya Dome, and then three at Sapporo Dome, and then two back at the Central League Park. Now, did you notice all the teams that were in the Final Four were Dome teams?
I did notice that.
Yeah. Yeah, the Swallows were the only non-dome team. If you can count that place out there in Tokorozawa Dome, I don't know what that thing is.
It's the world's largest...
The torture chamber.
The world's largest public sauna.
It's a torture chamber. That's what it is. But let's get to the second stage, which I think a lot of people want to talk about, including you, who just came back from an exciting game tonight. The second stage for the Central League.
Correct.
And, yeah, the Dragons, I was going to pick the Fighters to win their series in five games. They won it in a quick three. I was going to pick the Giants to win in three. And as it turns out, they might win three in a row.
Yeah, just kind of fast backwards there.
Yeah. Now, listen, people, it doesn't matter what order you win these things in as long as you win. So just because they were looking like the New York Yankees and looking like they were going to fold up and flop and fade in the playoffs, that's a good team, and they're showing why they won so many in games during the regular season, scored so many runs, had the lowest ERA. They really came up when they needed to, and it was Hirokazu Sawamura in game. What is this? I don't even know how to count them now. Is it game four, game five? It's game four, I guess.
Today was game five.
Right. Game four, he came up for them big. But let's talk about game one first. Now, these are the games that you saw, right?
He's correct. I actually saw these games.
Awesome. Awesome.
Saw all of them from first pitch to the bitter end. Okay, game one. Okay, the big thing about the going into this series, and I think I mentioned this last week, was I said if the Dragons win the Climax series, who is going to throw in Tokyo Dome? Because not only had they lost Kazuki Yoshimi, their ace, their big winner.
The injury, yeah, broken bone in his elbow, yeah.
But the game one starter, Kenichi Nakata, is out after the first stage. So he won one of their games in the first stage.
He won game one.
So who the heck are the Dragons pitch?
Yeah, he won game one, and he's gone with a sore shoulder. So, yeah, it was a big question. Who were they going to throw?
So I asked pitching coach Hiroshi Gondo before the first game. I said, do you have any healthy bodies at all in your pitching staff? Are you going to have to pitch? Have they signed you to a standard contract? So he said, yeah, if they do that, I'm afraid I would lose my job as pitching coach because they'd have to cut me. I'd be fired.
He'd lose all his jobs because he wouldn't be successful on the mound either. So.
Anyway, see what happens. You throw 400 innings for somebody and they forget about you.
Right. So, yeah, things turned out pretty good. I mean, Yudai Ono was the pitcher. He came up big for them. He did well. Even catcher Motonobu Tanishige got a hit, his first in 61 plate appearances in the postseason, so that includes Japan Series.
This guy used to be a postseason monster, but I think, you know, when you pass 60, I think something happens to your bat speed.
You think? They don't call it bat speed anymore, for one.
They do not. They call it quitting.
So, but they scrambled up enough runs here and there, and Ono was just fabulous for him.
Yeah, Ono is interesting. All this talk to Gondo after the game, too, because we'll get into the scary details. He's a funny guy. He said, I said Ono pitched a good game. He said, you know, I would have liked him to have a little better control, but having said that, had he had better control to a pitch he threw to Abe, it would have been a home run. Two balls lower, he threw this thing way up. He really elevated this pitch, and he said two balls lower, that ball would be sailing into the right field stands, and Abe'd be seeing how far he could throw his bat.
Yeah, but, you know, Abe, he was pulling off a lot of pitches. His approach was pretty, I mean, he looked pretty sloppy to me. I thought after the first game, I said, well, they're pressing. All the pressure is on them to win, and the Dragons had no pressure.
Absolutely.
And they played that way.
They played that way. The Dragons played that way until today.
Yeah, until today, probably. I mean, even last night, they had some issues last night being the Saturday night game. But, yeah, they win game one, and then in game two, it's 5-2. They win that one. A kid named Junki Ito.
That's right.
Throws a great playoff start. I mean, 7 2/3 innings, 4 hits, 2 runs. Gets a win, 2 hits, an RBI.
Scored a run.
Mopped up afterwards. You know, dragged the field.
No.
Sold some popcorn.
Wait.
Threw some peanuts to some fans.
John is joking, but he's only half joking because after the game, he's got to lug his suitcase up the stairs while he's talking to the reporters. And the next day, because he's the junior on the pitching staff, he's out carrying the ice chest out to the outfield for the pitchers.
Yeah.
So they give the ace number and just says, well, we'll tell you when you're the ace. You know, he's number 18. But, okay, here's your number 18. Here's your water cooler. Go lug it.
Get to work, son.
No, what have you done for us?
All right, so not a bad first playoff start for Junki Ito. I thought it was his first playoff appearance, but then you came back and told me that it was his second playoff appearance that he had pitched in the 2009 Climax Series against the, I guess it would have been the Giants?
was the Giants, and he had a pretty good outing. He gave up one hit to Tetsuya Matsumoto, your buddy. And he got out Sakamoto, Ogasawara, and Alex Ramirez.
Right. Now, the thing about Game 2 was the glove play with DJ Holton at first base. Now, I didn't know the rule.
I didn't know the rule either.
And I thought the guy should have been out. And immediately I email you, and you email me back. And I was busy. You were busy. But you still found time to check the rule.
Okay. Now, here's the rule. Now, basically, the play, for those of you who missed it, was Yohei Oshima is having this wonderful postseason for the Dragons, a leadoff man. He hits a smash into DJ Holton's glove that wedges half in and half out. It sticks halfway out of his glove. There's no way he's getting it out without a pry bar. Okay, he starts running to first. He can't get the ball out of his glove, so when he's about, I don't know, 3 or 4 meters from the base, 2 meters from the base, he throws the glove to Yoshiyuki Kame, the first baseman. Kame grabs, he gets the glove in his glove, and he holds it to his chest, and
is there plenty of time to get the runner?
It's the runner by a step, easily by a step. And the first base umpire, Atsushi Kitaka, who's kind of like Mr. Disaster of Japanese umpiring, runs around and examines how Kame is holding the offending glove.
Yeah, and I found the offending glove. I found it interesting the way he did it, because he approached him and says, it looked sort of something like a guy going up and he's going to ask somebody for some spare change, because they know they've got some change, and they're looking around, they're checking, where did you put that change? Because wherever you put it, that's where I want to look and say, excuse me, sir, do you have a dime?
Yeah, it was like that. And then he said he looked and he held out, gave the safe sign, and manager Tatsunori Hara came out for the only time during the game and asked, and he got about a 2-minute explanation, which was pretty good, because Kitaka once held up game one of the 2004 Japan series for about 45 minutes in the first inning because of just a bizarre thing he did. So yeah, it was over in a couple of minutes. So that was a success. Now, what Kitaka did was he followed the baseball rules, which is really a dumb thing to do for an umpire, because so often the umpires are expected to follow what all the other umpires do and not what the rules say. The strike zone is what the umpires make it. There's a bunch of rules that they just ignore, and you're supposed to ignore them as well. Well, he enforced the rule. And in fact, both Scott Matheson and DJ Holton assumed that because he had possession of the ball, he had control of the ball, essentially, it was against his chest, that it was an out, because that's how they call it in the United States. Well, the rule is, unfortunately, has nothing to do with how it's called.
Hmm.
Rule is to make a catch, which he has to have caught the ball. He has to have the ball. You need the ball to be in your glove or in your hand. It cannot be in somebody else's glove against your chest.
Yeah.
Unless you're holding it. So, anyway, so he was out, and they said, no, that's crazy, because that's not how it works.
Well, he was safe.
Yeah, he was safe because he didn't control the ball the way the rules say you're supposed to control the ball.
Right.
Okay, even though in America he would be out.
Yeah, and that's what I thought immediately when I saw the play. I thought, well, I've seen this happen in the States where the guy just throws a glove and they call him out, so what's going on here? And then he came on, well, one of the umpires, I don't know if it was Kitaka or somebody else, but he came on and he explained that that complete control could not be verified.
Right.
And if complete control cannot be verified, then it's ruled no catch, therefore the runner is safe. And I'm like, oh.
The thing is, it's a case of, baseball's really got to get its act together, because they don't like to change the rules in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
They let the umpires change the rules.
Well, now, wait a minute. You just said the umpires enforce the rules. Now, he enforced the rule, but that is the rule.
That is the rule, but the problem is that baseball lets the umpires decide how the rules are going to be enforced. Okay. What are going to be enforced and what rules aren't going to be enforced, and that's a big problem.
Right.
Get a situation where the umpire rules enforces the rules, and people go, "What are you doing? Like, what do you mean corruption is illegal in this country?" Okay. So
it ended up not being an issue because the Dragons didn't score in that inning, but DJ was getting pinched at the plate. Like, there were some borderline pitches that I thought he could have gotten called strikes that were called balls.
He specifically said, "I'm not going to talk about it. I'm going to talk about it." But everybody else said the umpire was sort of taking it out on him. Although he didn't really complain he was livid about that. But the thing is that the call was made by the first base umpire, not by the home plate umpire.
Mm-hmm.
But now we get to the next funny thing.
Yeah, so then there's a ball hit with the bases loaded, and this is Ito Junki, the pitcher. He hits a ball that takes a funny hop at the plate, and it looked like it hit something.
It's like it hit his leg or his foot.
It seemed like it had to have.
And this is here's the thing. There are three – the second base umpire, because the bases are loaded, he's standing behind the pitcher, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I with the baseball, he's probably standing behind second base. But there's three umpires who can see the play in front of them. Nobody lifts a finger to talk about it. And Tatsunori Hara doesn't get his thumb out and go out in the field and find out what's going on and how come this is happening to his pitcher, which doesn't help his pitcher's composure any.
No, DJ was having a frustrating time.
Flapped his thigh. You know, he kept slapping his thigh to indicate that the ball came off the pitcher's leg. And he got nowhere, and that was the first run.
Yeah, and I mean, anybody knows in football and basketball, anything, you play to the whistle. And in baseball, you let the umpire do the judging, and you make the plays. And the umpires usually, they don't only put their hands in the air, they scream dead ball. And because he didn't scream anything, DJ should have made the play. Should have tried to make the play. I don't know that he was going to be able to make the play, but he should have tried.
He was pretty much standing there watching the ball go past him. He was about to go pick it up. But when he realized after the play was, you know, the ball stopped rolling, he was going to go over and pick it up. And
yeah, I remember him fielding it, but he's holding it in his glove, screaming at the umpire, saying, "Hey, it hit his leg."
And he said afterwards, "I don't feel ball. I don't go after balls that are foul," which is sort of like Tyrone Wood saying, "I don't take grounders before games on Sunday."
Yeah, I mean, you don't make the call yourself. You let the umpires make the call. So it ends up, and you know, I've seen the replay. I can't tell you what it hit. I don't know that it hit Ito at all. I just know it took a funny bounce.
Okay.
So I don't know if they made a mistake or not. And I've seen, you know, I saw the super slow. I came home, you know, I was watching at work, but I came home and watched the news, and I can't see what it hit. If it hit a leg, if it hit an arm, if it hit a hand, a wrist, I don't know, but it did take a funny hop off the ground, and it seemed to have hit something, but I couldn't tell you if it hit something or not. Anyway, so the Dragons end up winning that game, and all of a sudden, the Giants, who were pressing from the start of the series, were pressing even more in Game 3, but, you know, they do very well. Masahiro Yamamoto, the Dragons, works five pretty good innings for, you know, a guy who's 47 years old. Two runs, three hits, two walks. It's not bad at all. And then Kentaro Nishimura, the closer for the Giants, gets into trouble in the 10th. And Hara had nobody else to go to, I think, which was all his fault. And I don't know if it was a roster situation or what, but Kyosuke Takagi, Tetsuya Yamaguchi had already thrown. And it would seem right there that you'd want to get somebody else in the game at the point where it looks like, you know, your closer is not, he doesn't have it that night. He's not getting the guys out the way you want. I don't know. I would have gone to a left-hander, but they didn't have any.
Nope.
And it looks like they changed the roster the next day.
They change it every day. So.
Yeah, to get another left-hander out there. But Donoye, he's not a great batter. He's a fastball hitter, as far as I remember, because he didn't really play a lot this year. And
he hasn't played a lot since for a couple of years, really.
Yeah, he's an occasional batter, pinch hitter. So yeah, he's gonna be up there looking fastball slider, and your closer is gonna be throwing basically, especially Nishimura, fastball slider. So I mean, it was a bad matchup for the Giants.
He didn't throw the forkball. He only threw one forkball, I think. So.
Well, with guys on base, and this was a thing tonight, it's, you know, with Yamai, but we'll get to that later. Yeah, he threw a fastball up, don't know where he hits it, puts a good swing on it, gets it to go through the infield, the Dragons win 5-4 in 10 innings. And now all of a sudden, it looks like, you know, the party's headed toward Nagoya.
Well, the other thing about that game is, you know, in the third game, you start to notice this pattern happening, which is when the Giants do hit the ball hard, about 8 out of 10 times it's going straight at a Dragons player, or a Dragons player is close enough to make a good play on it. And with the Dragons, they're getting a few balls through. They're hitting balls at guys, but they're getting a few balls through. Nobody's making really bad plays on defense. There's a couple of big plays. There's a couple of interesting plays, but the real thing was in game three. Now the Dragons have used their top two relievers, Takuya Sao and Daisuke Yamai, in each of the first three games of the climb, the first stage. They used them in game one and game two of the second stage, and they're looking gassed. So in game three, they bring out Hitoki Iwase. And this guy pitched a 1-2-3 inning, by the grace of God.
Literally, yeah. Yeah. A couple balls are smacked pretty good.
Indeed. We got one right at a guy, and then we got two balls that were hit. They were hit fairly hard, but one needed very quick reflexes, the last one by, Masahiko Morino at first base.
First, yeah.
A great spin move by Araki to get to the ball, plant, and turn and throw to first. But that was the 1-2-3 inning, and it was like, wow, they were lucky.
Yeah, that could have been three hits, at least two hits.
It should have been two hits as well as they hit them. Yeah. It should have been two hits. So anyway, so that's how they got out of game three. And now they're going into game four, and you think, oh, well, their bullpen's rested. Maybe, you know, we might see a Sao or Yamai, but they didn't really. They weren't leading late in the game.
Yeah, they didn't have a chance to go to those guys.
So they decided not to use them with the game tied.
Yeah, which is something that Uchiha used to do all the time. Asao used to come in if they were down by one or tied, he would bring him in, but he's not that kind of pitcher, I don't think, this season. He's been a lot different, and I don't think you can trust him in those situations. It's hard to say.
Look, Asao looked as good as Iwase did in game two. You know, he looked dangerous.
Yeah.
They're all the guys who are coming out are the guys who are fresh, who hadn't seen a lot of pitches, but, you know, haven't been burning themselves out in the bullpen and burning themselves out on the mound the last week and a half. And those are the guys in the middle who've been good.
Yeah.
And for the most part, they've been good. Anyway, so the Dragons bullpen is looking very vulnerable now, and the Giants made them, you know, got them to game four, and we have, you know, we have an interesting pair of starting pitchers.
Yeah. Well, before we get to game four, it was so funny that after game three, Michael Westbay again emails me, and he said he looks, Takagi is doing the interview, and he's looking like, you know, he's in disbelief that his team has won three of these games, because, and contrary to, probably the fans' opinion, teams, general managers, they know they're not going to win every game. Even during the regular season, they know they're not going to win every game. The plan, the strategy isn't how can we win every game. It's how many we can win. And I think the Dragons came in thinking, well, we certainly want to split the first two games, because if we get a split, we're still in it. If we can win the first two games, that even if we lose the next one, we're even.
Right.
So by them winning the first three games, Takagi really had surpassed expectations even of himself.
Well, I like your thinking here, because I think what happened is by winning in the first three games, his plans were all shot, because he didn't plan to win the first three games, and he didn't really have a plan if they had won the first three games.
I don't think he really has much of a plan.
Oh, okay. I was trying to be nice. Having listened to few things that a few of Takagi's discussions with the media, I have to think that he spends more time planning where he's going to eat dinner than he does thinking about what his team's going to be doing.
Well, it looks like it to me, and I think they won those three games, and he really wasn't doing anything in the first couple games after the game, and he went in for the interview. He would say, well, you know, he didn't say it, but it looked like he said it. I just show up and make a lineup card, and then the guys are just doing everything on their own. But the one thing he did say was, look, these guys, they've been in the playoffs before, they know what to do, they know how to get ready, and they're doing it. And it just sounded to me like the Ochai effect, you know, how he got these guys, how he let them get ready and how he prepared them for postseason play and how they got ready for games is still here. And I think that's his legacy.
Well, that's what Gondo said when I talked to him in May. I said, you know, you guys are doing a good job with a team that lost a lot of talent. And he said, it's not us. And he basically said a bunch of chimpanzees could come in and coach this team and do well because the players are extremely professional. He didn't say chimpanzees, but that was the gist of his point was that they inherited a team of players who basically knew how to prepare themselves and knew everything they needed to do without being told to do it.
Yep. So I think they were winning those games, not necessarily by the help of Takagi, but then we get to game four and they start to lose some game, or they're behind. They're not scoring like they were before. They got a bunch of guys on base.
Yep. They are getting guys on base like nobody's business.
Yeah. But Hirokazu Sawamura, a guy, and I complained to you in an email. I said, this guy kills the Dragons. He never gives up anything. And I started complaining. And all I can remember is last season him throwing nine innings. And I think it was scoreless after nine. And they pulled him. And they ended up. The Giants ended up winning the game, but Sawamura didn't get the victory. And then I remember him shutting the Dragons out for 10 innings. These are both in Nagoya Dome. And then in Tokyo Dome, I don't remember how he did against them, but it just seemed like he had never given up any runs. And I think he didn't pitch as well against them this year, but
he was 2-2 in four games. And oddly enough, Sawamura's season is kind of strange because he pitched really well about half the time.
Yeah.
And then half the time, he didn't, last year he pitched really well a lot and he got very poor run support, very poor, mediocre bullpen support.
And poor defense at times.
He'd have a bad inning. He'd pitch six great innings and give up two runs and lose 2-1. And
yep.
That was last year. This year he pitched either pretty well, pretty darn good, almost as good as he did often last year, but he rarely pitched as well as he did last year. He pitched really well, and then he pitched he did that thing again where he would pitch well for five innings and then look like somebody took his, he had a heart transplant. to coin a favorite topic of John's. You know, he came out like a different guy, like he didn't want to be out there. Somebody had transplanted his arm and he had to use a left arm instead of a right arm. It was like kind of thing. He was like a different pitcher. So, but he was solid. He's a pretty straightforward pitcher. He doesn't have 10 pitches. It's fastball, slider, forkball. And his fastball was not all that impressive. I didn't think it had a little late movement on it, but it was, not this, but he was throwing it like a dart, like darts.
Well, he was locating on occasion. He didn't locate to everybody, but he got it when he needed. A lot of the U.S. pitchers say this: when he needed to make pitches, he made pitches.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so
after the game, he made an interesting comment. He says, "I was all on emotion, and I was firing all on emotion, and I just looked to see where Abe's mitt was, and I threw it to him. And I'm thinking there was one at bat." When the two were, these two guys were so far off, they weren't even, like, ordering from the same catalog. And his glove down, he was calling for a fork ball, and Salmura winged the umpire with a fastball.
Yeah. Well, he did enough, and he
did plenty.
The thing about the Dragons in this game, with it was an elimination game, and I thought Takagi could have done a little bit more to help his guys get through it. And in particular, I don't know, and I understand it because Tanishige is such a great player, and he's been a great player for a long time. But he was killing them, and they had opportunities where they could have probably pinch hit for him even in the sixth inning. And I know Oda is a backup catcher and he's not great, but if he's on the roster and you're going to carry him up there, let him play. I mean, Shige can call pitches from the dugout, you know.
To be specific, basically Salmura got in trouble in the second, fourth, and sixth innings. And the second inning, they had the bases loaded and two outs, and Tanishige struck out. And then in the fourth inning, they had first and second, and I'm going to say it was Mori. It was either Mori. It was Hirata, I think, made an out and a chance to drive in a run.
Yeah, he struck out.
Okay. And then Morino
walked.
Did he walk? Okay, he walked. There was a runner on second, and then Hirata struck out, and then Morino gets on base. And then Tanishige's up, and he flies out. So he's left three guys in scoring position and two at bats and five runners on base.
Yeah.
And the next time he comes up with two on in the sixth inning, and he confounds the Giants by drawing a walk.
Yeah.
And then Takeshi Yamasaki comes up and he just can't, he has one really good swing on a high fastball, and he mishits it, and he drives a foul into the stands. And that's the best he can do.
Yeah, and I thought that was another mistake by Takagi, because I thought with a chance like that, that's when you send up a Donoue against a tired guy. You know, it was the sixth inning, so it ended up being his last inning.
The last pitch he threw was to strike out Yamasaki.
So I think Donoue was the perfect guy to bring up in that situation. Bases loaded. He's an aggressive guy. You know you're going to get strikes. And he sends up Yamasaki, and I thought, now why is he sending up Yamasaki? What's the catch here? And I thought, okay, he wants a veteran guy up here in this situation, somebody who's not going to overswing at a fastball, somebody who's going to take their time. But I'm like, but Donoue is a perfect left-handed batter in this situation.
And Yamasaki has trouble catching up with fastballs now, so.
Yeah, I thought Takagi, when they had the chances, he got in the way.
Yeah.
In the fourth game, and even in the fifth game.
So you would have had Donoue pinch hitting for Tanishige before he walked, yeah?
You know what? Probably. Yeah. Probably.
I would have had to. Finally, later in the game, when he came up with a couple of guys on, with a runner, with one out and a runner on first, he had him do, which was realize the fact that he is now hitting like a pitcher. He had him bunt.
Yeah, so, and I'm like, and he's a terrible bunter.
Got one down, though.
He got it down, but you look at the replays. The ball was running in on him, and he's moving away from it. It was like lightning striking that he got it down. It just happened to hit the bat. The pitcher threw the ball into his bat.
There's a lot of that. There was a lot of weird bunts in the series so far. Okay, so anyway, the Giants pulled this one out.
So they stave off elimination. Yeah, that was a big thing.
In the 10th inning. And,
We go to tonight's big game.
Yeah, we go to another elimination game, and Wayne Grassick asked Scott Matheson before game four, if you think if you win this game that you'll have some momentum.
Mm-hmm.
So we were all thinking, well, if you don't win this game, there won't be any chance of any momentum.
Yeah. So game five on Sunday, the 3-2 walk-off win for the Giants. And I was saying to my wife, I'm like, I hope this ends soon, because we have to record the show and I need Jim to get home. I don't want him there all night.
Well, that my office shuts down early on Sunday, so basically I couldn't sit around and get all the quotes I wanted. So I kind of had to cut it short.
In this one, Takagi really drove me mad by moving Morino down? Well, he had moved him down in the order earlier in the series, right?
No, well, he started, no, he basically, this is the first day where he changed the batting order. It had been Oshima, Araki, Ibata, Wada, Blanco, Hirata, Morino, Tanishige, and the pitcher. But today, they get Tetsuya Utsumi comes on 3 days rest. He threw 87 pitches the other day. He comes on 3 days rest.
I thought he threw 100.
He pitched six innings, for sure.
He threw 107.
Oh, did he? Okay. I'm getting my digits mixed up.
Sorry.
Anyway, threw 107 pitches, and then he comes up on 3 days rest. And interestingly enough, the only guy who didn't have a hit, who hadn't had a hit this year against Utsumi, was the guy he put into the cleanup spot, who was Tony Blanco.
Well, I'm not so much worried about that stuff. What really bothered me...
The reason I thought so is they hit him pretty good this year. He pitched two games against the Dragons, and they lit him up. They didn't get any home runs off him, but everybody hit him. You go up and down the lineup, and you're going, wow. And anyway, it was the same. It was the same with Sawamura. They hit him pretty good. And the guys in the middle of the order who hit him pretty good during the season hit him pretty good during the game. And the guys at the bottom of the order had all these chances to drive in runs and didn't do anything. Well, yeah. The bottom of the order, meaning Motonobu Tanishige. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, part of it is, I mean, sometime at one point I thought, are they pitching around some of these guys to get to Shige? But then you look at it, and the people in front of Shige were getting hit. They were hitting their way on base, so it wasn't like they were pitching around these guys or walking them to put them on base to get to Shige.
This year, the only way Blanco's been on base against Utsumi was walks, and he walked twice today before he got a chance to swing the bat, really.
Yeah, and the announcers were saying, yeah, it looks like Utsumi doesn't want to throw to him. He's just staying away from him. He's going to let him make him chase something.
Was trying to get him to go out. You know, he got him swinging a couple pitches out of the zone, but... he really was hesitant about throwing his fastball in the strike zone for good reason.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't throw really, really hard. And if you're trying to hit his fast, you see this with Utsumi a lot. Basically, his breaking stuff is so good that if you're looking the wrong way, he'll kill you. If you're looking for a fastball, you're just going to be looking when the breaking ball comes because you won't have anything. There's nothing you can do about it. And if you're looking for the breaking ball, he can kill you with his 137 kph fastball.
Yes.
Because it has good movement on it as well. So it's really tricky. But he was trying to keep his fastball out of the zone to Tony Blanco. And then on his 100th pitch, did we get that? I guess I'm getting ahead of myself. On the 100th pitch, he's got a two-run lead, and he throws a slider up like well out of the strike zone, but his eyes light up and says, I think I can hit that. And he just drives it the opposite way into the right field stand.
Yeah, and I was on the train coming home, so I didn't get to see it. But from the way the announcers on the radio described it, and they're calling it a shoot.
Was it a shoot?
They're calling it a shoot, and they're locating it. I don't like this stuff on Yahoo, man. They're all over the place. But that pitch was up around his shoulders.
It was up. He said it was eye level.
Yeah, and it was the kind of pitch that you make to a guy and he fouls it off.
Yeah.
Normally.
It's hard to drive because, you know, you can't get, it's hard to get a good swing on a ball that's at an angle. And anyway, so he really drove it well for that tough to get that kind of trajectory on it. And the thing is, when he walked off the mound, he did something I've never seen a Japanese pitcher do. They give you the ball when you walk off the mound, which is weird. In America, you go there, and the manager takes the ball, you gives it to the next pitcher. And you don't have any weapons. They don't leave you armed.
Wow.
He took the ball, and he spiked it in the infield on his way off the field.
Yeah, I saw him throwing something. I saw that on the news. I didn't know what it was. It was the ball, huh?
He was seething.
Well, it turned out well. It turned out okay for them in the end. I mean, it was it only got the Dragons even. It only meant that he couldn't win the game, but he also couldn't lose it. But I think again the Dragons made some mistakes. They hit some guys. Hirata overran a base, and I still was trying to see in the news replays, whether he was looking at the coach, whether his head was down, or whether he just assumed the ball went through. And I couldn't see. Maybe you can tell me. Was the coach stopping him, or?
I can't recall. I was watching him. I was watching the shortstop. So I mean, Sakamoto just took him out easily. He wasn't that far off the base. I mean, he did not take a, it was not really far, but he froze.
Well, he should have been sliding. I mean, the ball never left the infield.
Okay, so basically, no, he was easily, you know, there was no chance of his being out because of where it was hit. But you don't round third base.
Yeah, I mean, okay. The ball's hit right in front of Hirata. He knows that the shortstop has a chance to get to it, so you either look at your third base coach or you just slide in the third and you do a pop-up slide and you check.
Well, he didn't. Okay, so this is in the second inning. And then in the bottom of the second, the Giants load the base. Now, the pitcher tonight was Soma Yamauchi, and he's essentially with the exception of Kawakami, who started against the Giants, he's the fourth straight pitcher, okay, fourth out of five starters the Giants essentially have not seen this year. And some of these guys they haven't seen in over 2 years.
Yeah.
So he pitched one inning against them, and the first inning, he's throwing darts. He's just bam, 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 11 pitches, 9 strikes. Easy peasy. I mean, just so smooth. You think, oh man, the Giants are cooked. Then he comes out, 3 batters, the bases are loaded, nobody's out in the second.
Yeah, hit batter, a single, and another hit batter. But yeah, you know, I'm not blaming him for the loss in particular. But you can't hit guys and give them bases like that, not in the playoffs. And I tweeted right away, and I think somebody replied to me, but. Yeah, I went off on that too. The other mistake I thought was late in the game. If Yamaya is your closer, why are you bringing in Iwase?
Exactly. See, this is 20-year-old thinking. You save your closer for when you have a lead, as opposed to when you can win the game by getting the other guys out. I mean. They got, right now, people at the start of the series were going, oh, the Dragons' bullpen's really good. And I think the guys you're talking about who are really good and deep are the guys in the middle, although the Giants haven't been that bad. The Dragons are a little better.
I think the bullpens are pretty much, I think the Giants are a little bit above. But
I think they are now because Yamai's gassed and Asao has disappeared from sight.
Well, I don't think Yamaya's gassed. I think, especially he came into a situation, he was in a lose-lose situation, and he likes to throw forkballs down in the zone, maybe even bounce, and he couldn't, or Tanishige wouldn't call for it because the bases were loaded, he didn't want one to get past. So I think it limited his repertoire. I don't think he's gassed.
Point is a good one, that if you've got him there ready to go, they're saving him to win the game when they can lose the game. And this is a strategy I hate, but this is so many managers in Japan will basically use the peanut gallery to save their star for a game to get a save. It's a no save situation. Don't use a star pitcher. Use a bozo. Use the third guy.
Yeah.
A lot of managers do that. And a lot of managers, I noticed when I did this study 2.5 years ago, that there are the winning percentages in games are bizarre. Teams have a tremendous winning percentage when they're leading by a run or three. Okay, well, anyway, the whole point is they use these bozos. There's so many bozos out there in the ninth inning when the game's tied because they're not in the save situation. They think it's not essential, but I'll tell you, this is... Anyway, that's a big situation, but their bullpen is really beaten up pretty much now.
Well, I think they still have, I mean, Asao didn't throw tonight, and I think Yamai, he didn't throw too many pitches. I think he'll be fine for the next day, for Monday's game.
But there are questions, is how Asao didn't come out.
They weren't winning, and I kind of understood the strategy until they got to the ninth inning, I think, and I was confused as to why Iwasu was coming out there when they were going to have right-handed batters. But anyway, that aside, who do you have winning and going on to the Japan Series to face the Fighters?
I have no idea. I think the Giants just are now ready to win. I think so many weird things have happened in this series. They're like going, they came into the series thinking they were going to just show up. And nobody's going to say they thought they were just going to show up and win. But I think they really thought they were just going to show up and win.
Yeah, and I went out there before. I went to the practice on Tuesday before the series started, and Abe said, "Well, we don't think they're going to be. I think we think there won't be any easy games. They're all going to be one run games. Everything's going to be close." Blah blah blah. They fed us the line, but it didn't look like it. And like I said, he was pulling off a lot of pitches, and they're starting. You know, they were pitching him away. Soft away all the time. They started him out sometimes even hard away, but everything was away. They've never come in on him, and when they do, they come in off the plate and high, but not low. And he wasn't cluing in, and you know, he had a double on a really bad swing. You know, he was off balance. His butt was way out of the batter's box just about, but he got a double, and I think it was game four. And that helped him out, and it looks like he might get back into a group. But anyway, I'm picking the Giants to win because, as I said earlier, I was going to pick them in three straight anyway. So I just didn't anticipate them losing three straight before they won three straight.
These two teams being seemingly as they are, in fact, very even. I mean, the other possibility is the 12-inning tie with the Giants clinching in the top of the 12th. I think that's possible at this stage.
Yeah, and of course that's part of the equation, and I just think they're moving on, and I will pick them to win the Japan Series as well. As well the Fighters have played, and as gutty as they've been without Yu Darvish, and as gutty as they will play in the Japan Series, I'm going to pick the Giants in seven.
Wow. I'm going to pick the Fighters. I'm going to pick the Fighters to beat anybody who comes at them, and I think they're going to win in six.
Yeah, if it's the Dragons, you know, I don't think the Dragons have the pitching at all to match them, but I think they can generate some runs, and I think they're really comfortable at Nagoya Dome playing close games, which I think it'll be. So I would probably pick the Fighters in six if it's the Dragons, but if it's the Giants, I'm going to say Giants. But I think it's seven games. I'm hoping for seven games.
Interesting thing tonight, the last thing I had to say about this was something I've never heard before, seen before. In the eighth inning, Tetsuya Matsumoto comes up, and there's two runners on base, first and second, and he says the crowd starts chanting, "Sacrifice bunt, Matsumoto," in Japanese. Sacrifice bunt. They're chanting for him to bunt.
Never.
What have we landed in, John?
I don't know. Well, you know, this is the only place in the world where you can go into a seven-game series, lose the first three, and win two games, and be even.
Good answer.
So, if they're going to cheer sacrifice bunt, it makes sense. They're confused too.
Yeah, they think that's probably they were all saying, "Oh, the Dragons, how foolish they are." They think they're leading this series. They're probably not. There's probably a rule we don't know about.
All right, well.
Actually behind.
Yeah. Well, enjoy the final. This will really be a climax to the climax series. Should be fun on Monday night if you're listening to the show on Monday. If the game's over already, enjoy the beginning of the Japan series next weekend, and we'll be back with you in a week. Don't forget to send us your emails or MP3s to yakyujohn@gmail.com, and we'll play them on the show.
Excellent. We're looking forward to hearing from you.
All right. Enjoy the Japan series.
And we will be talking at you next week.
Good night.
Good night.